what I call the reality of the uproot, right? Now you're realizing, wow, we uprooted ourselves. And now it's time, by the way, if you had a whiteboard, I would say, let's write on there, purposeful rerooting. Like, let's plant ourselves on purpose in this new place.
Hi, and welcome to the Leadership Now series with Nick Vujicic and Christine Grimm, Aria Consulting, 23 years of executive coaching, and I'm humbled that she is my coach. I could not lead without the sound coaching from Christine. I'm so glad, Chris, that we get to coach everyone watching. Tell us what we're going to be experiencing here on the series.
Yeah, we're going to coach you around leadership, around real challenges, how to navigate the challenges that you have right now, and how to feel good about it.
I'm so excited, Chris. You're going to be sharing with us also your pool of CEOs that can bring in and chime in some principles from their experience as well. Thank you for joining us here on the Leadership Now series. Here's today's episode.
Well, hi, everyone. G'day. It's Nick Vujicic here. Joining me, my very dear friend, Christine Grimm, on the Nick and Chris Leadership Series podcast. Thank you for joining us wherever you're at. We love you. We're so thankful that you're listening or watching us right now. We are going to do a deep dive, but a real transparent pulse going both ways on where are we in our life, in our family life, in our business, what we think of this proposed second quarantine as well, in some states following, some not. But for all of you leaders out there, you don't need a title to be called a leader. And if you're joining us for the first time, welcome, where we do just a one-on-one discussion with me and Chris. And sometimes we have some special guests that we bring in on a CEO level. Chris, thank you so much for doing this today. I'm so excited about getting real this week in regards to how you're doing, how I'm doing, and what we think the world is doing when no one knows much more than anybody else. How you doing?
Isn't that the question? I'm great. I'm excited. And I haven't talked to you in a few weeks, so I can't wait to, you know, get the download from you.
Yeah. Look, it's been quite an interesting week. I just told my friend the other week, I think it's since the age of 17 that I had only two speeches within 6 months. Second half of 2020, Christmas is closer than not being closer right now. And it's really freaking me out, in some level, but, you and I just had an interesting offline discussion real quick, discovering that each of us had one of our first in-person meetings,
that's right.
You in coaching, me in speaking, just now recently. Where'd you go?
I went to Seattle. I had an on-site strategic planning meeting with a group of leaders. It felt really good to get back in the saddle. And even though travel was new and different, it was actually fairly easy. So everybody stay home, because if I travel, I really want to be in TSA alone. Selfish and diva-like, but I'll tell you, it makes a difference. And the meeting was fabulous. I mean, we social distanced, we followed all the rules, which is unfamiliar, but I would say it was a really great experience. So I'm happy to report that. How about you?
Really cool. Before we get to me, I'm real curious. Was it an important meeting that we're like, no, we really need you here face-to-face, or was it just in a normal sense in some aspects and they just wanted you there?
Well, it's such a great question. So it is important. I do a lot of meetings with teams that are based on strategic planning, leadership processes. And, you know, there are some of those that we've tried to replicate using Zoom or WebEx. And you can't have all of those same conversations with technology. You can have a lot, by the way. We've done a lot. Everybody has. But no, we just got to a point in the process where it was time for the leaders to kind of lean in. And so we waited until it was safe.
And, awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. For those of you who do not know who Christine Grimm is, she is founder and president and CEO of Aria Consulting. Check it out for you and your company. Free resources there. Check it out, Aria, A-R-I-A. For me, we've now relocated out of California. And so within driving distance, I had an opportunity to be with Dr. Fabrizio Mancini, who's Dallas-based. He started as a chiropractor, and he's got an incredible health and well-being brand now. And, you know, he's got massive brand names as his clients. And so he had a little leadership gathering here, social distancing. You know, they checked my fever, my temperature, you know, made sure I washed my hands and brought all the hand sanitizer that I needed. And it was actually a closed meeting. It wasn't online at all. And it just felt good. Those were the kind of, I was the closer, if you will, the end keynote for the day.
Yeah.
They had Les Brown tune in. They had some other people tune in. I came there in person and they were like, it just feels good to be around human beings again. And I'm like, yeah, it does. And so, yeah, you know, 6 foot distancing, you know me, I hug everyone. I have my own opinion on what COVID is. That's for another episode. I think we should just do an episode of like, seriously, what Christine and Nick really think about what COVID is.
You and I are definitely in the ride or die club. I say that to people all the time. They're like, wait, you're flying where? I'm like, ride or die. Like, I got people, we got things, I'm going. COVID be damned. And I know that's not popular with everyone. And of course, I'm very safe when I get there. I want everybody to know that I'm not that irresponsible. But I do feel like there are some things that have to be done in person. And now that we're getting used to this, and I don't think it's going to go away anytime soon, right? This whole back and forth into quarantine, people being cautious, masks, etc. I'm not seeing that going away. So I'm hoping everyone's starting to kind of embrace the unfamiliar and, you know, get on with business in a new way. It's the only way. Like, what else are you going to do?
Gotta do something. Right. And when you know, like, for me, this week's been pretty rough. Like, I find myself waking up some mornings I feel great. First of all, it's super weird to not have to wake up by a certain time. Like, I'm waking up at 9 a.m. You know, apart from my Bible study this morning, 7 a.m. And so I broke myself into it over the last 3 days because I'm like, I've just been trapped in this cycle of going to bed at 1 a.m., getting up at 9 because there's not much that's going on. And then feeling like I need to be pricked to wake up, you know, get back into a rhythm. It's been so numbing that sometimes you feel like, man, I just got to do something different. Or feeling like when I did go do the speech, I was motivated, I was refreshed.
Yeah.
I'm pumped up. And then the next day I'm not. One of the things I did yesterday, Chris, is, you know, I have 4 kids. And Kiel, she's our oldest, is 7 years old. And we here in Texas is a lot of ponds, fishing ponds. And he learned how to cast his own fishing rod all by himself, brought in his first bass. It was probably like 8 inches, 9 inches. And me and my wife, we're like, what did we do to that kid to make him so competitive? So disappointed that he only caught 1 fish and he wanted 5. So disappointed that it wasn't big enough. You know, like, we didn't do anything to that kid to do that. But that's just how he's wired. And he had a great time. We had a blast. And he just didn't want to let up until he, you know, caught another fish. And in the end, he was crying because we had to go home. And me and my caregiver were hungry. And the sun was going down. So it was really fun, like, just to go out and do something different. And like I told you a couple times offline, I feel like I've gotten a second chance to do those deep awareness, deep dives and conversations with myself to reinvent, to restart. what my life now looks like without having to travel, which is one of my biggest dreams come true, to make sure I don't miss my childhood, my kids' childhood. And to be able to do that yesterday was so much fun. Yeah, it was just something that I want to tell you. It was good and refreshing to be outdoors and do something different and talk to people. Everyone talks to everyone here in Texas. It's phenomenal. People say hello. Like, if you don't say hello to someone here, like, something's wrong with you. You're probably from California or something.
That's completely true. I also have to point something out to you. Your reflection on Kiyoshi and not knowing where he gets his competitiveness, etc. And you're like, he only got one fish and he wanted to get five. I'm like, I think your goal was a billion souls. Like, what? You don't know where he gets that. Like, you just described yourself to a T.
I love it. But I would be thankful for one fish, Chris. Like, he was thankful for a second. Yeah, but I didn't teach him that. He must have just gotten it, right?
It's hard wiring. He has hard wiring. Yeah, we call that hand-me-down values.
Right.
Oh my gosh, I love that so much. Let's talk about your move, because I love, we haven't had a lot of this to talk about in all the years we worked with together. But I love when people rock their own worlds. And that's what I call it, when you make a conscious decision, whether it was imposed on you or not. So by the way, anybody who doesn't know me, I coach people, I've been doing it 23 years. And so I've lived through a lot of change with people. Sometimes, like I say, it's imposed on them, like someone gets fired. I don't know, there's tons of change. Someone dies, I don't know. There's, in our lives, there's change that we plan and change that we don't plan. When it's major, it's a thing. And so I call that when you embrace it. And of course, you guys moved on purpose. So that's an embraced major change that you put upon yourselves and you took that on. And I call that rocking your own world, because it does that whether you actually plan for it to happen or not. And so I thought, let's just, and we didn't plan this, everybody. I on purpose didn't have this conversation with Nick because I wanted him to give us the real answer the first time. So raw and real.
Nick. Here we go. My palms are sweaty already. So what's your question?
So my question is, so what's it like rocking your own world right now? Like, what's been good? What's not been good? We want to hear the whole thing.
Look, my world hasn't been rocked since like this, since 2011. 2011 is an earmarked year as the year where I took on too much. I burnt out, had a cash flow situation, and it was just a slow grind out of it. Got married 2012, first child 2013. So that was that era. And that was a lot of major shifting and change in my life. Mm-hmm. And I even told my wife, I still today. So I don't know how I got you. And I keep on thinking that when I don't even feel like I am even myself. Don't even recognize myself some moments. Where, you know, so just little things, you know, spike up a spike of anxiety for no real reason. Feeling unmotivated these last, you know, we've only moved very recently. We've seen the move coming since November. Very thankful, looking at the news, very thankful that we did make the move. And it was the right decision already. We already knew that going into it. And it's just again and again, I think some months as well will bring some confirmed feelings that this was the right move for me and my family. I am excited. I know deep down I'm not feeling it on the tip of my tongue nor the surface of my skin right now. But I'm curious to see what the next 15 years of Nick Vujicic's life looks like. Because I really don't have, I mean, I have some vague conceptual things, but you know me, I literally normally have 20 or 30 things on my whiteboard, and it's gone down to like one thing that's active, two things that's half active, and maybe three things to light up over the next 3 years. But normally I'm a Tasmanian devil, and to be stopped in my tracks, number one, changing location, being away from my own family, the Vujicic family, missing our home, missing the no humidity in the air and no bugs outside. That's a small change that I knew I would face. As much as though I thought, Chris, I'd be okay on this transition to go without a caregiver for a month or two.
Wow.
Because I don't have to do anything, because I don't need to be anywhere. Oh my gosh. I died in 5 days, and I called up one of my caregivers and said, you know, can you please come and just, you know, be a 2 week bridge?
Yeah.
Hired a new one coming up next week, and never met him face to face. But you know someone whose family with them. And generally I normally never hire a caregiver who's had caregiving experience before. So that in itself, you know, I've hired new caregivers before, but all of this change to happen where there's no travel, no this, no that, and Nick doesn't really know what the track looks like. It's as if I'm a thoroughbred that's been running the whole life, and now I'm told to just be in the stable and lay low and be quiet for a little bit.
Wow. You know, it's so great to talk with you now about this, because a month or two ago, I can't remember, I was with you the day you accepted the offer on your house.
Yeah.
We were in the studio, right? We were podcasting. And then even I couldn't have this conversation with you. And like I said, I've been around a long time and I've done this with a lot of people. So it's always fascinating to me, because I'm like, yeah, he's going to go through the phase where they don't really know. They're just going to have a bunch of stuff to do. I think that's what happens when people are moving, by the way, moving an office, moving a house, right? It's very task oriented. And then you get to the new place. And like you're saying, the fact that you've just uprooted everything becomes very real, right? It becomes a very tangible set of feelings. And like you were saying, there's a physical part of it, but there's always like, there's an emotional and a mental part of it that you can't experience or think about early in the process. Like you can't, it's just the way it is, right? You have to experience it in the sequencing in which it comes. And so now you're there, right? Now you're experiencing what I call the reality of the uproot, right? Now you're realizing, wow, we uprooted ourselves. And now it's time, by the way, if you had a whiteboard, I would say, let's write on there, purposeful rerooting. Like, let's plant ourselves on purpose in this new place.
Mm.
And chances are we could probably brainstorm about 20 things that you could focus on.
I love that.
Right?
Because I love that.
Putting a plant in a new vessel, that's what you're doing, right? New soil, new air, like you said, new everything. Yeah.
And as you know, like you moving, what, 21 times in your life?
A lot. Yeah. My dad was in the military. We moved a lot.
Yeah. The conscious and subconscious changes when you do get a new home that you do call home. Like there's this essence of nurturing and nesting, knowing that we're in this 2,000 square foot, you know, home with, you know, six of us plus mother-in-law plus nanny, eight of us and a caregiver, nine, right now with him being here out of California. It's a lot. And so I feel like even subconsciously, I'm not even allowing myself to feel the purposeness of being replaced this time. Like literally as I'm talking to you,
yeah,
we're registering our vehicles here and all that stuff. And we're doing the main things to do the main things, but It even goes even deeper than that, because you know me and what I think about a second quarantine, and what that could do, and me wanting to, you know, make sure that the next investment that we make in our own next home, I don't want to buy high and then it goes down. If there's a second quarantine, if there's a real estate market correction, kind of on that holding pattern to see what happens over the next 8 weeks to know if my gut instincts are correct or not. So it's almost like this holding pattern where I'm like, and I can't even do the main thing. Like, my wife's fine. Mm-hmm. Like, normally it's the, you know, the wife or the mother, you would think, you know, is the nurturer and the homey feel, the base and the plants and all that. She's done some awesome furniture shopping already and killing it, you know, garage sales, estate sales, and, you know, changing what she can. And so she's doing that nurturing process. But, you know, when we do get that home, I know it's going to feel better and different. And we just can't wait. We can't do that yet either. So we're on hold for that. So that's another added measure of pause.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me challenge your thinking on that, because I think that your observation of your wife, who is amazing, and so I'm not surprised she's jumping right on in there and buying furniture. Love that girl. but I think that, you know, she has a role to play, and she has to do that, right? She has a home to establish, because the sooner she creates stability for your children, right, for you in some ways, for herself, the more normal it can feel. And so I want to take those concepts we were just talking about, right? Like, so when we kind of up and move and we have to plant new roots, we have to kind of dig in. One of the ways to do that is, like I said, to kind of get into the tasks that need to happen first, so that your home feels, even if it's temporary. We did that too, yeah, by the way, when we moved back to California last time, we rented first so we could find the right area and schools. And so in my head, it was temporary, right? Just like you, like, I'm not really ready to make permanent decisions, but you can start to make some decisions. And so whatever you can do as you start to move forward, you will get more confident as you set even micro goals. You know, let's get a whiteboard, let's put some things on there to help you get used to this new place, meeting more people like you did. I'm so glad you had an event, by the way. I think that was a gift, right? That
totally was.
Yeah, that's
totally
a gift, was. Right? You meeting other men, meeting other leaders, men, women, whomever, you know, really starting to feel like, who am I here? Right? Your global brand is always going to be, regardless of location. It really is, right? I've been trying to help you see that for a long time, that regardless of where Nick lives, you are a thing, and your brand is what it is. But how it manifests for you every day, because that's changing, that's what's so unfamiliar to you. That's what makes you feel, I think, out of control.
It does. And I'm having to cross hurdles that I've never crossed before. Now, obviously, this is all beautiful in a way to also mirror in context to COVID for everyone.
Yeah.
From a global brand scale, I'm actually, I don't know how this is going to be really relevant for anyone else real quick, but this thought came in my mind this week. 75% of our listeners, Chris, come from overseas. We just did a quick stat check. And, you know, 12 million social media fans, majority overseas. The stuff that, because you know I have friends in 43 countries, and I watch the world news, and I know what's going on in some of the poorer places out there in the world. This shutdown and quarantine, I like, for the very first time, I am now very conscious of someone in Africa,
mm-hmm,
watching a post put up on Facebook talking about change out here, moving from state to state, this and that, when I just had a friend who's best friend in Africa, one of his best friends in Africa, had a middle-class job, and now has gone hungry for 3 days straight. It is an over-exaggerated quarantine shutdown, freezing cities, and distribution of necessities. There are some people that I'm talking with that says, yes, absolutely, unless something changes, we will start to see even the West find out a little too late about a swoop of starvation across the globe. And so from that perspective as well, and then trying to figure out layer one, feeling motivated and feeling inspired to say something, even in times that I'm not feeling up for it. Number two, what do I do in a new brand, in a new voice, in a new era, when I don't know too much more than anybody else, and starting a podcast that I've never done before? Number three, having a global brand where I could... I'm already judged by anyone. Anything you say about anything, you can be judged, but also being sensitive to a global worldwide audience. That has been something on my heart this week, where it's like, okay, do you now start separating some segments of the world where you now do addressed, focused posts for different people in different parts of the world who's going through a completely different tragic facing, where they would look at me and say, Nick, you used to be inspiring, but you're not, you're even out of touch with really what's going on. When I feel I'm not, but I am. Very interesting for anyone with a global voice.
I'm so inspired, and I want to tell you, my heart just like pitter-pattered a little bit. So I know that the universe is with us here, and I want to say to you that it is so important that we put on your whiteboard right now what you just said, right? I think that we have been given the opportunity, not just with COVID, but I think that the social unrest, the conversation about racism, these are global human issues. And I do believe we are being more than invited. I think we have been, the invitation was a long time ago. Some people didn't come to the party. We are all at the new party. We are global citizens. We have to get out of our thinking. I would say this to anyone in any country or state or municipality, like the geographic borders that for a very long time dictated many things in the way we think and behave and make decisions. You know, the internet had already kind of started to erase those boundaries, to your point. And I, even though I think those boundaries exist, they're becoming less important. They're only important if we make them important, but if we miss the bigger conversation that's going on, then we really, really done a disservice to ourselves and others. So I love your idea. I think that we even at Aria, you know, we have three brands. We have our consulting business, we have online coaching, and then we have a business that is focused on women's development called Avi. I have an intern from London. She's awesome. And I literally just made her go through all of our websites, all of our social, everything, and tell me why it's too American. And so she came back, gave us all this feedback, and we're adjusting, because I'm like, no, we are all a global brand, whether we pay attention to it or not. So the fact that you woke up and you're getting this message that maybe you need to lean into it more, whiteboard item, Nick, like it is time. I love your idea of maybe segmented messages, but I would say to you, don't segment it too much, be appropriate, right? Like facilitate the appropriate conversation. And I wanted to write it down while you were talking. I'm like, yeah, our CEOs that join us for Leadership Now, let's go big. Like, let's start having conversations with people who can actually have a broader conversation than Leadership Now here. It doesn't have to be localized. Let's have a conversation that's leadership now on this planet. Let's have a conversation about leadership now with all the dynamics that are going on. Can do that.
Yeah, no, I'll say it. I would love to have the vice president of Kenya on a Zoom call, have that global perspective. I've had the privilege of meeting 21 presidents and vice presidents and addressed 10 different governments. And I do have the education of traveling the world and being there and experiencing all different types of cultures and diverse struggles that we wouldn't even think of. But I think you've just confirmed that for me for sure. And I didn't even have a whiteboard in front of me, and maybe that's part of my displacement.
Get a whiteboard.
Because I'm like, where is my whiteboard?
Yeah, can we just put that on today's Amazon? I promise you, my husband would tell you, we get a lot of Amazon boxes every day, much to his chagrin. You can order it on Amazon and they will deliver it to you tomorrow. Go to Staples, I don't care. Just go get a whiteboard come on now.
Look, I'm actually Zooming from our bedroom. We've got one master bedroom and I almost soundproof my master closet for calls like this. My wife's like, no. Last week I was thinking, man, I just need a whiteboard. She said, nah, just use a pen and paper. I'm like, no, it's not the same thing. And so I'm going to go to her and say, Chris told me I have permission. And I probably won't be able to put it in our bedroom, but we'll figure it out. But it's cool. This is really helpful, Chris. And I hope I'm sure it's helping other people as well. Starting from scratch. Obviously, I don't know what five cores you have or four cores that you have as far as pillars for anybody dealing with change, but you've got the spiritual element, you've got the family element, the financial provision, not the dreams, but the financial provision, the finances, and then the friendships after that, and then the fitness for me. I was swimming with
my... That. You know what? I'm going to write it down right now. We'll put a link in this. We have a tool like a PDF that we can give to people. We'll put the link in this podcast that you'll be able to get it from ariacoach.com in our blogs. It's called A Wheel of Life. It looks like a pie, or you can make it look like anything you want if you don't want even slices. All the things you just described. So there you go. Keep going.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, it's something that, you know me, I used to do whiteboards every 3 months, and now it's like starting from scratch. And at the same time, though, what's really interesting is there are things that are coming on my table, on my desk, that are huge.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've had two separate interesting conversations this week, and it's opportunities I never thought would be possible.
Mm-hmm.
And never thought that I'd be even interested in one industry in particular. But the uniqueness of it has taught me to this not only will be different in the landscape of the variables of me being who I think I'm going to be, do what I think I'm going to do, as much as opportunities that I've never even thought of. It's almost like when you have a certain business and you grow and grow and grow. Yeah, maybe some things change and expand as your company expands, but the variables of the uniqueness of the opportunities that I haven't even thought of, nor even dreamt of, have come on the table this week, actually. It's been really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Look, I think we have a full moon eclipse on 4th of July. I don't understand astrology at all, by the way, but I know that that's powerful, because if the moon can make the waves in the ocean work, I know it can do something for us. So when it's closer and bigger and more powerful, bada bing, let's use it. And I would say to you that you come back to the kind of rerouting and what happens when you start to live the reality of it. And I said something at the beginning, and I want you to embrace this, right? You have this is a gift. You have a moment right now to take this bull by the horns, rock your own world, challenge yourself to go big in ways that a year ago you wouldn't have even allowed yourself, right? This whole like global stance. Yeah, Nick, 12 million followers on Facebook, 75% of them outside the US. Duh, let's do this. Like, you have the platform, you have relationships. And when you said, let's get the vice president of Kenya, yeah, what's stopping us from doing that? Nothing. Like, we don't have to get on a plane. We don't have to ask anyone for permission. Isn't that awesome? You know the people. Let's interview them. Like, come on, go big. You're going to need two whiteboards. Your wife's going to kill me because your room, the decor, it's going to turn into a brainstorming room. Who cares? But you know, I mean, just let yourself dream a little bit. You asked actually about if there were four pillars. I don't know that I have four cleanly, but I would say to you, the story you tell yourself always is what's driving what's happening. So right now, like, rewrite the story.
Yep. Yep. No, I love that. I was just on an interview panel. There's this music festival, the largest music festival, one of them in Europe, just one of them, not the biggest one in Europe, but biggest one in Serbia. And it just won 2017 best music festival or something in all of Europe.
Wow.
It's called Exit. And inspiring guy started it. His name's Dusan, and I've been friends with him for many years. And so they had me on a panel. And there's this woman called Lindsay, and I'm actually going to be hopefully interviewing her. She's been a player in organizing some of the biggest global relief efforts for suffering, and incredible woman based out of Utah. And it was just really, really interesting to be on that panel. And one of the things that she said was, one of the biggest enemies of our lives is self-deception.
Totally.
And for me, in my, you know, my faith walk with God, and I have the Bible to hold on to, knowing that He is faithful, it just feels like at times it's like it feels overwhelming or underwhelming, but that's where you go back to the core of who you are. And what you do believe about yourself, about the world, about the opportunities, and about the trajectory of your life. And we have so much influence of our future on the decisions that we make, and the decisions to catch yourself when you flag yourself thinking and harping on something that's actually not true. And I know it's so simple, and I'm the motivational speaker saying the obvious, but it's been a deeper understanding of that for sure.
Mm-hmm. I think I might have mentioned back on our episode maybe with Sean Lipman, there's a book called Leadership and Self-Deception, and it's a hard read. I probably have it on the shelf, but I won't waste our time finding it. One of the reasons why Leadership and Self-Deception by the Arbinger Institute is a hard read for leaders is because you have to admit. You can't quite read that and then not admit all the ways you've been deluding yourself for a very long time. And by the way, what you learn, I'll give you the cliff notes, but anybody who wants to read it, you could easily grab it on Amazon or something. It's not a long read, but it's difficult because what it does is force you to admit to yourself, if you're brave enough, all the ways you were deluding yourself. And sometimes, you know, with good intention, like it's not like you're sitting around, all of us are lying to ourselves, on purpose. Most of the time we just believe things about ourselves, that story, right? The narrative, you know, either because we're afraid of things, or because we have that, what I call the story or the narrative we have about ourselves is we say, okay, I have to be the hero of my story. So that means for me to write this story and have me be the hero of the story, well, then we actually have to sometimes make a bad guy in the story. So we find people and based on their behavior, we create the narrative about them, which by the way means we have to create the narrative about ourselves. If they're the bad guy, I'm the good guy. So I have to behave these ways. A lot of it is all illusionary. Like it's us creating constructs and ideas, most of which are not true. And we live our lives like that.
This is huge. I want you to challenge our listeners right now. Like, how many CEOs are in their own story right now, Chris, that they don't even realize?
Look, it's really interesting. I had a conversation yesterday with a mentor of mine about this. And we were talking about the fact that the COVID situation, in particular, you know, has pulled us all into such unfamiliar territory. And, you know, we've been talking about that in a number of our podcasts, of course. But I would say it's so related to this, Nick, because what's happened is that because our stories have been challenged, right, everything has changed for most people in some way, good, bad, neutral, whatever, it's changed. And all of that changed and now sustaining that change, you know, is forcing us to look at who we were before, face what was a mask that we were wearing for whatever reason. And then also the hardest part of that is facing, you know, what was working that we can't bring back, what is not working. All of that is up for reevaluation. And our delusions, and you know, this is for all the leaders out there, you know, I think you really have to look at, you know, like if we don't take people back to the office, that is the leadership question that's happening in almost every call or thing that I'm having at least once a week, right? If we don't bring people back to the office, or we don't do it in the same way, or we start to have to lead more remotely permanently, then the leaders are asking, okay, well, can I be effective that way? Right? Like, what's at risk here? We talked about the live meeting that I did this week. And in part, you know, that was us making a decision that there are some pieces of business that, you know, maybe we just don't know how to do it in this new way. And that causes a lot of, you know, insecurities to come up. It causes us to slow down sometimes in ways we don't want to do that. And again, that's all built into the story of what we thought was success before. And if that doesn't come back, I think everyone right now is having to face like, okay, well then who am I? How do I lead in this new way? And can I be as successful in the new as I was in the old?
And these are huge things to consider and get right, because, you know, if you're a CEO and you've got staff that you feel like you can text over the weekend, get them on a call at 10 a.m. over the weekend, you know, you're going to burn people out and not really understand the boundaries, only because part of the story is that, well, I don't know how to best be productive and I don't know this and this and this. So this gives me an excuse to do this and this and this when we shouldn't be able to do that. And that will affect not only our team, but how that trickles down throughout the company. Mm-hmm. You can really tell, you know, if someone's panicked or not on that. And so I'm thankful that, you know, the nonprofit, you know, they as a team had a discussion about that. And then the second quarantine came. And so we're delaying it. But, you know, the leadership from the top down, you've got healthy parameters, decisions, because no one's got a story that, you know, has come out of the works or the pores of the skin. It's been an incredible time, actually, of unity, because everyone's raw and sensitive with the time. So it's only been a strengthening thing for those who do it well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's so interesting that you say it that way, because I think that we don't have a choice now to change, right? It's being thrust upon us. If you can take control of it, please do. And your point about doing it well, you know, is also part of this gift that I was talking about, right? Like, take a hold of this, do it well on purpose. Like, don't wait to accidentally do it well. And I'm not saying that's what you're doing. I am saying to all the leaders out there, you know, we if you've been with us through these podcasts, you know that we started with, again, you know, is this temporary? Is this thing temporary? Whatever it is for you. We're beyond the bounds of temporary now, people. You know, now we have new, we have to figure out new ways to do this. We are doing it. We're doing it right now. And doing it well is a choice. Because now you actually have to do, you know, something we also mentioned a while ago that maybe for some people seemed like a luxury, moving the goalpost, you know, establishing new criteria for success. Well, okay, then do that on purpose. Like, if you haven't done it yet, come on, get in here and let's do this. You could go back and watch all of Nick's podcasts and over the last 3 or 4 months, it creates somewhat of a roadmap. And we didn't even do that on purpose. Look at that. To help people, you know, take a hold of this, create change on purpose. When it's a major change, you know, start to feel those feelings and then get yourself some whiteboards. I think that is going to be the title of this episode. The new whiteboard. Get it.
Great. We'll call it Got Whiteboards.
Got Whiteboards. Yeah, it's time. Like, yeah, redo. Whiteboards everywhere. I don't know. But, you know, it's look, it really, I think a fundamental thing here, Nick, and, you know, you're discovering it every day is that, you know, we can either be uncomfortable for a long time. We're all uncomfortable. The unfamiliar is the new thing, right? Like, we're in it. We're all in it. I had to fly with a mask on. Unfamiliar, uncomfortable, new. Did I do it? Yes. Did everyone else on the plane do it? We did. And everyone was fine. And we're probably better off for it. So this is the new, right? So the sooner you can kind of move yourself into acceptance and then, you know, like I think what you're saying, and I'm hoping you're saying it and I'm supporting you, is move into doing it on purpose and then doing it well, faster.
You got it right on the money. You know what? It's a word I didn't say on this, but I'll say it now because now it's absolutely clear. Playing the victim card. Victimization. I you know, and doing it on purpose, owning it, take responsibility, and just, you know, stop it, you know.
Victimization is so 2019. No, 2020, the lesson of 2020 is we ain't got time for that. Like,
exactly.
Get out of that part of your head fast. And if it's not your competency, like you don't know how to do that, well, here's your gift of 2020. You're going to learn how to do this better. When you're in your story and you go from being the hero to the victim, well, find your cape. Let's go. Like,
Love it. Love it. Chris, this has been awesome.
I'm glad to talk to you. It has been awesome.
Thank you. Thanks for sharing your wisdom and experience and helping everyone around the world. Chris, you're awesome. Did you want to say anything else before we call it an episode today?
No, I'm just going to say thank you to you and everyone. Listen to this twice. And yeah.
Have great. A great week. Love it. Love it. Everyone have a great week. Just like Chris said, wherever you're at, do your best to keep safe. And when you're playing the victim card, go grab your cape. All right. Love you guys. Hope that and trust that. You got some courage, some wisdom, some conviction today to go get your whiteboard. Love you. Thanks for joining us. And we'll see you next week on the Leadership Now series with Nick and Chris.
Hey guys, thank you so much for listening. Help us reach as many people as possible by giving us a rating, a review, and subscribing to this podcast. Love you so much. And remember, share this with anyone you know who needs to hear this as well. I'll see you next week.